Hold on to your butts.
Let's get ready to
ramble.
Welcome to episode 6 of The Rambling Geek, the show where two geeks talk about geek stuff. Except for this week, three geeks are talking about geek stuff, because we're joined by fellow geek, Justin. How are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. A little early for me, but, you know, it's good to be here.
What time is it where you are? What horrible time have we hauled you in front of the mic?
It's about quarter to 2 o'clock in the morning.
Whoa.
But I do have an infant, so this is not a really odd time for me right now.
Is time really a concept anymore?
No, not at all.
I do not miss those days at all. Well, thanks for joining us. And with us as well, as always, is Brian. So, hi, Brian.
Howdy.
All right. So, I feel we should just kick off like we kick off every episode and have a little pre-ramble about things we're enjoying at the moment or have been immersing ourselves in, I guess, since we last caught up. So, Justin, you're the guest. Would you like to talk about anything? Have you been playing or watching anything?
More playing than watching. My wife surprised me with a Nintendo Switch for Christmas, and so I've been playing with the new Marvel Alliance, or Ultimate Alliance 3, which I am enjoying quite a bit.
Nice. Are those the RPG ones?
Yes. It is based on RPG, where you basically get to create a custom 4-member team with, I think they have like 30-some characters available. And so it's just fun just to be able to mismatch your team as you go.
You played one of those, didn't you, Brian, for quite a while?
Yeah, I had played Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 on the PS3, I think it was, way back. And then I got them from really cheap on the PlayStation Store just recently to play on the PS4. So I'm looking forward to going back to those. And I never got to Ultimate Alliance 3, though. They were quite fun to play. I spent a lot of time anyway, keeping an eye on the others who were getting the crap kicked out of them. So I'd have to go and rescue them so they wouldn't die.
So it's not good AI then?
Well, I think it was me, to be honest with you. I was probably just inattentive or just like really intent on being Captain America or Thor a lot of the time. And poor team management, I think you could probably say. Fun to play that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to know it's on PS4. Maybe I'll check it out. I just never got into it because I wasn't a big RPG person. I hate turn-based fighting, and I'm far too impatient for all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you just, when you're in the combat and stuff, you kind of have at it. And on the first one, from my recollection anyway, that you spend a lot of time, the four of them would tend to cluster together a little bit, or you'd be off in one corner, and the other three would be off wailing on some poor underling for Hydra or something like that. And it was a little bit rugby scrum. But overall, it was a lot of fun to play.
It's kind of more of a arcade brawler with some RPG elements to it.
Yeah, that's a good description, yeah.
So you're just running around beating things up and then basically make yourself better as you go.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of time breaking things like trash cans and stuff, which were heavily placed on the helicarrier so you could get coins and level things up. Yeah. I'm going to take down Batroc, and then I'm just going to beat up the entire garbage management system.
Exactly.
Yeah. Level up after that.
I'm very tempted to get a Switch, but I think I'm going to go with the Switch Lite, the one that doesn't plug into the TV, the handheld, because as far as I know, it still plays all the same games, right? So it's basically console in your hand.
Right.
Which, I mean, the Switch is as well, but I don't really care if it plugs into the TV. So, yeah, I'm very close to pulling the trigger.
Well, I wanted it because I have a 4-year-old daughter that wants to get into games.
Mm-hmm.
And while you can find some games on the Xbox and PlayStation for kids, Nintendo is where it's at for family stuff, I figure so.
100%. It's one of my big regrets was I used to have a Nintendo 3DS, and I had that for that reason. Not for that reason, I didn't have kids at the time, but I like those games, Mario Kart, all of that sort of jazz. And I made the foolish decision to sell it and instead buy a PSP. No, PS Vita. Yeah, the one after PSP.
Yeah.
And regretted it because those just weren't the sort of games I wanted to play handheld. Just wanted to go back. So I think I'm going to go with the Switch, get some Mario, and go from there. But that's quite cool that your daughter's, because she's the same age as my daughter, and she's getting into gaming as well, my daughter. And she's doing a few things on the PS4 now, and she's quite enjoying that. Mm. So it's something I want to nurture, not overbearingly. She does enjoy it, and I wanted to sort of just keep going with it. And, hey, maybe she can become one of those Twitch millionaires or something one day, and that'd be great. But, you know, whatever she wants to do.
It's such a 21st century thing to say. When my niece and nephew were born, it was all about, I wonder if they'll play golf.
Yeah.
Wonder if they'll be a doctor. Now it's a, you could be a Twitch millionaire.
See, I always figured I'd try and push my kids towards being a tradie, like a builder or an electrician or something, because that's where the money seems to be at these days.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And also I'll need help around the house because I don't know anything. But if she wants to become a Twitch personality, then I'm all for that as well. Cool. Do you have anything else? Or
Not really watching, but I am anticipating the Invincible cartoon.
Oh, man, so am I.
Can't wait for that.
So am I, and the cast is amazing.
Mm-hmm. When's that due out? Do you know? Have they announced a release date?
They haven't. I can't remember. I'll look it up while Justin can chat about it.
Well, it's one of my favorite cartoons. Or, I'm sorry, not cartoon. It will be one of my favorite cartoons. But for those who don't know about it, it's basically like, what if Superman had a family, and then actually it turned out Superman was basically a spy that was just looking to conquer Earth. So it's just kind of a cool thing where this basically Superboy is having to take over the father's mantle or try to reclaim the name, I guess, really, while defending Earth and trying to figure out what's going on with his family.
Yeah, I guess you don't know that till a little bit later because it basically starts off as
spoilers.
Everything we talk about is going to have spoilers, so better say it now.
Yeah, implied spoilers.
Yeah, implied, yeah. I think, yeah, because it starts off sort of more typical, the teenager who doesn't have powers, but he does know his dad's a superhero.
Yeah.
The greatest superhero on Earth. And then he very quickly gains his powers as a teenager. And I think the first arc is more him sort of learning the ropes, maybe, and meeting his friends. I think that all happens in Volume 1.
Yeah, is that the cliffhanger of the end of the first arc? I think I've read to at least that far, a long way back. The whole dad.
Yeah, thing. I can't even remember how far in it.
I only have the collections, and so like in the first collection it shows all that. So I can't really say graphic novel or wise.
I'm pretty sure that's what I had, first trade or two. I think it was I read, and it was definitely in there. So
Maybe it was. I thought the first
pretty trade early on in the story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it ended with Alan the Alien turning up, which also might lead into all of that anyway. But yeah, no, it's good. It does have a release date, March 26th.
Oh, awesome.
When the first three episodes will drop.
Not far away.
And then it'll be weekly after that.
Cool.
So, and from the one trailer we've had, it looks amazing. And the one thing that'll put Brian completely off it is one of the voices is Seth Rogen. Yeah.
What do you have to do that to me?
But you have J.K. Simmons and Mark Hamill.
All right. Well, two to one.
Those two alone should be enough.
That's fine. Look, I can suck it up.
You go down this list. It's
a fantastic list.
Oh, Steven Wynn from The Walking Dead, J.K. Simmons, Sandra Oh, who's awesome in Killing Eve, Mark Hamill, who we all love, Seth Rogen, Gillian Jacobs is in it. Oh. Zazie Beetz, Walton Goggins is in it, Mae Whitman, Zachary Quinto, Kevin Michael Richardson, because he's in everything.
Yep.
Sinequa Martin Green, Lauren Cohen. It's like a Walking Dead reunion.
Wow.
I want to read this out, which is fine, because that was also Robert Kirkman. Clancy Brown's in it. So
Lex Luthor.
We all like a bit of...
Oh, yeah. Done. I'm not even going to notice Seth Rogen's there. That's fine. We'll be fine.
It's got a pretty stellar cast.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a cartoon. I think
it's going to be awesome.
And it's not to dump on cartoons, but wow.
I think it'll be a pretty big budget cartoon.
It's pretty amazing,
and and it seems the art style is very close to the comic.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just high hopes. So good call. And what about you, Brian? Anything?
Not really been diving into too much. Still the old gaming continues, but nothing really noteworthy. Catching up on WandaVision, which I'm sure we'll end up cycling back to.
A little bit.
Yeah, and I'm going to chuck it in there. Just a thing which we were talking about a little earlier, in place where I work, I've been doing lots of really far ahead forward planning and thinking about events and fun stuff to do in the office and all that kind of thing. and already thinking about May the 4th, and uncovered a surprising number of geeks in the place where I work. And it's kicked off this big debate from one of the people who's helping to organize it, and she admitted with a straight face that she'd never watched Star Wars.
I like how you say with a straight face.
Yeah, we were mostly like kind.
Like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Inserting a gasping noise there.
Yeah, he knows me well. I may have stopped the meeting that we were in to go, well, we're back up. You haven't what?
And so then, Will in the TV.
It's like, okay, stop. Okay, we need to start streaming this right now. And so she promised to watch it and then started off a discussion thread on our internal Yammer setup that we've got and just asked people what the correct order is or the best order is to watch Star Wars. And because it was such a broad question, now we've got timelines buzzing back and forth, and they include the cartoons and the prequels and obviously all 9 movies and The Mandalorian and all of these things. She was aware of Baby Yoda, so, you know, kudos. And so, yeah, now that's kicked off the whole thing, and we're even down side threads of whether or not it's either acceptable or even allowed to watch episode 1.
Or even possible.
I suggested that forcing someone to watch it is tantamount to cruelty. I got one person supporting me.
I think that's what they used to do in over in the Middle East, right, as torture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
put on a bit of episode 1. And
episode 1, yeah. Just Jar Jar on a loop.
Jar Jar and little Anakin. And little
I was going to say, yeah, they had Annie in there.
Annie. Just Stella. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just, he was actually a little orphan Ellie. Oh, he was too, because when his mum got killed.
Oh.
How has that never been brought up? Oh, okay, anyway, no. Carry on.
I don't even know where to go with that now.
How do I pick this up again? Yeah, you carry have. On. It's sorry. Like,
yeah, I'm glad we're not sitting face to face. I don't think I could look at you right now. yeah.
It was so good.
And yeah. And so it's kicked off thing. And there is as yet no definitive answer. I think by May the 4th, she might have an answer and she might have watched something. But at least in the office, it's going to be pretty cool because there'll be some costuming, I'm pretty certain, where I'm trying to convince some of the guys who occasionally form our kind of resident band in the office to recreate the cantina.
Nice.
That's about as creative as I've got so far, but I'm really keen to see how much of this thread spins out and whether she makes a choice or regrets it forever.
Okay, so being that you're not you are a Star Wars fan, but you're not a Star Wars fan, you know, you're not
well
huge
put.
Into it.
Yeah. Yep.
What would your, if we just look at the movies, we don't include the Clone Wars, The Mandalorian, all of that stuff. First of all, how many of the movies do you actually like? Being that there's 11.
Okay, with a fairly broad definition of like, let me do a count in my head. 6.
Oh, that's more than I thought.
Yeah, I know.
Can I guess what they are?
Yeah, feel free. You're far away.
Okay, so episode 4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's easy. Yeah. I'm going to guess. So I got 3 more. I'm going to guess Force Awakens.
Yep.
And Rogue One.
No.
No. You don't like The Last Jedi.
What about Solo?
I'm trying to think of a contemptuous noise I can make, and I've not seen Solo. In all honesty, I haven't seen it.
No, that was going to be my other guess.
Yeah.
Okay. What are they?
I can live with 2 and 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like I said, it was a broad definition of like. Rogue One I watched, and I went, you know, there's one every episode. I went, meh.
Oh, man, I love Rogue One.
I didn't think it was necessary. That's going to sound like a really crusty and really sour thing to say, but I just thought, yeah, you didn't have to make it, but you made it, and it was okay.
Not everything has to be necessary.
I liked a lot of the characters on Rogue One, but for me, the real payoff was the last 5 minutes, really, of that film.
When Darth Vader comes in.
Yeah.
And we finally get to see the Darth Vader we picture in our heads when we think Darth Vader is cool. And the cool thing with that was I did literally drive straight home and put the Blu-ray of episode 4 on, and it does marry up quite well. Yeah, episode 2 would be my favorite of the prequels, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's got old Temuera Morrison in there, and the guy who plays his son, Daniel Logan, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so funny.
Okay, so apart from that scene, I can live with 2 and 3.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. I think that scene is only jarring to us as Kiwis. Because
of
how they talk, it might not be as jarring. Well, we can ask Justin, as a non-New Zealander, and if you can even remember back to episode 2, and it's not repressed somewhere deep in your memory.
Oh, man.
Who is it? Is it Obi-Wan? Someone comes to visit
Jango
Fett and his son.
I think it is.
Right.
In the scene where little Boba opens the door.
Boba, is your father here?
Yep.
May we see him?
Sure. Dad, Tonwee's here.
Oh, man. For us, that is just hilarious because that's just, we know so many people who talk like that over here.
Yeah, I would never pick that up.
Yeah, see?
If anything, for me, that's like, oh, that's another Star Wars language or, you know.
Yes, exactly something. What I thought it would be. Right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's how Mandalorians talk or clones of Mandalorians talk.
Whereas here, I guess you'd call it, what do we call it here, Mike? Cultural cringe. I think that's a phrase that gets busted out every now and then to, because, you know, we don't hear that accent in that setting.
The whole cinema laughed.
Yeah.
When that happened.
That's hilarious.
It was so good. All right. Well, that's pretty cool. So we'll check back in with you after May the 4th then.
Yeah.
Which is quite far away.
Still. It is a way away. But hey, if anybody wants to suggest an order and then, hey, kick off a debate, an argument, feel free to send me hate mail. Do what you got to do.
I'm pretty sure if I do a Twitter post on that, I'll get a lot of responses.
Oh, completely. I figure so.
Or somebody will just go on Google and find the graphic someone's already made, mm-hmm. and that'll end it. That's it. So, yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I need to revisit Clone Wars. I need to revisit Rebels. And I probably will do a rewatch all the way through Mandalorian because that show is just gold.
Yes.
It is so good, especially season two. It's so Star Wars. Episode one of season two was the most Star Wars thing until Luke Skywalker turns up at the end. And then that's ultimate Star Wars.
I wonder if there's someone has a job somewhere, or maybe at Disney now, who has to keep all of this straight.
Of course, it'll be Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, probably.
Yeah, or some sort of underling, you know, because, I mean, even if you go really right to the extreme, and there were Lego TV series, weren't there? And all sorts
there
of things.
There were Lego, not movies, but sort of 40 to 60 minute type.
I don't know if they'd consider that canon, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing of it, because isn't it always the debate around the novels that got done, like, between movies and after the first three, and, you know, there's comic books forever and all that stuff, and whether someone gets to decide that's canon or not canon, or you just say, yeah, go do whatever you want, and then we'll pick and choose when we make a movie. Be a hell of a job.
I think once Disney purchased Lucasfilm, the general rule, and I'm not deep in Star Wars either, but I think the general rule was anything that's considered extended universe is now not canon.
Okay.
So it was just the movies. And I think Clone Wars was already out before Disney. Yeah, it was before Disney took it. And so Clone Wars still counts. And anything that Disney has made counts.
Okay.
And so I would include the Marvel comics as well, because they will be canon, because that's Disney also.
Yeah. I guess that'd make things pretty clean and helps to get rid of some stuff. I think, Mike, you and I have talked about this before. If you ever read the novel that Alan Dean Foster did called Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which came out kind of just a little bit after he did the novelization of Star Wars, you know, A New Hope. And this was before the whole Luke and Leia brother and sister. And there's some fairly creepy stuff in there, you know, longing looks and this, that, and the other. And if you read it sort of in hindsight, it's like, yeah, I'm fairly certain you didn't know where the story was going when they got you to write this.
I feel like George Lucas might not have known that when he wrote A New Hope.
Oh, I'm completely convinced that it wasn't in plan all the time. Yeah, because I just want to think that novel just get pushed to the side and say, yeah, we're just going to let that one go.
Well, if you watch the movies in hindsight, it's the same thing, though.
Well, yeah.
You can pick up on things that you're not supposed to pick up on. And
it's like a.
Okay, well, that was
Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Star Wars ramble. Can I
bring up something that always bothered me about the 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
Was the age difference between Anakin and Padme.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so bad in episode 2 and 3 because they upscaled Anakin because it was set, obviously, quite a bit forward, so it wasn't so obvious. But man, in episode 1, it's pretty.
Yeah, that
bad.
Even as a kid, I remember like, what? Like, why are they so interested in each other? What's going on?
Well, I can understand it from Anakin's point of view because it's Natalie Portman. But
True.
Natalie Portman backed down not because he's Jake Lloyd, but because he's like 10. Yeah.
No, he's advanced to his age and he builds robots, but that's not the same thing.
No.
And I also had the question, if Padme knew about his mom, why didn't she do anything about to get her out of there?
Oh, that's trying to recall too much of those movies. I can't remember.
I'm just saying, like, if you know, like, this kid's mom is basically a slave.
Yeah.
And you're basically one of the leaders of this planet. You should be able to say, here's some money. Give me mom.
True, but wasn't it was Tatooine. So that wasn't under the same rule of the Republic, was it? Because doesn't Watto say your Republic credits aren't good here or something?
Right.
So I guess she has no sway. Oh, wow. Look at that. I said I'm not deep on Star Wars. Jeez, that's a bit bad.
Couldn't you just rescue her?
Yeah, even that.
You would think.
No?
Yeah.
You know,
it's means. Just one of those things that always means. Bothered me with that storyline.
I feel like Qui-Gon might have said something about that as well, only being able to take Anakin, but I can't remember. I haven't seen episode one for many a year. But yeah, all right. Nitpicks. I've got some nitpicks to talk about in something as well to segue out of Star Wars, if I may. I rewatched on the weekend Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Mm. That movie, I haven't seen it since it was at the cinema, which is really bad. I should have watched it a lot of times by now, but it is art, that movie. It is so art.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Favorite Spider-Man movie, hands down.
Every single thing about that movie. Mm-hmm. Is perfect. Yeah. I have two nitpicks, but they're stupid nitpicks that don't at all change any part of the movie.
Almost perfect? Okay.
No, it's still perfect. My first nitpick was that Peter Parker, the Miles universe Peter Parker, mm-hmm. the one played by Chris Pine, the blonde one, he dies early in the movie. And, man, that is just an emotional scene. Oh. You've always got to wear a mask. And then Kingpin just pounds him into the ground. He has this big public funeral where they reveal that he was Peter Parker and all of this. Mm-hmm. And then that same night, I assume it's that same night, Miles is at Peter's grave where he's sort of, you know, I can't do this. I can't be you sort of thing. My nitpick is there's no way that grave would have no people there, even in the middle of the night. Because that Spider-Man, who was beloved by the whole city, his identity's been revealed. Peter Parker's grave would be mobbed for days, night and day, I feel.
Okay.
And again, it's not a nitpick that ruins the movie. It's just something I thought about while I was watching it. The other one was Miles makes a suit by basically stealing one of Peter Parker's suits and spray painting it black. That dude would be high as F. like he's got an enclosed mask that he spray painted black and he literally immediately goes and jumps off a building. So already he's clearly high and makes that leap of faith a lot easier, you know? And I was just thinking, dude, there's no way the stuff he must've been seeing in the collider while he was that high.
Why do you think colors are so brilliant?
Yeah, that's right. But again, these are silly little things, you know, that you shouldn't think about. Like, do you ever see Batman putting gas in the Batmobile or whatever? You know, it's stuff that doesn't matter. But it's just thoughts that popped into my head when I was watching it, and especially the spray paint one.
I think this is one of the reasons we're friends or have been for so long, is you're the only person I know whose brain works like that. I don't know anybody else who would have come up with anywhere near a thought process like that.
Oh, man, I was live tweeting, so it took me 3 hours to watch the two-hour movie because I kept pausing to write my tweet and find the right GIFs to go with the tweet. And my plan was to tweet while watching, but finding the GIFs, you know, it's got to be good. So I was going through it, and, it was complimentary, very high level for that movie all the way through it.
So you should be.
Everything is so good. Jake Johnson is just fantastic. Is the way they wrote Peter B. Parker is fantastic. Spider-Gwen. Okay, can I ask a question of both of you? Of the Spider-Men, or girls who come through from the other dimensions. Which is your favorite? So you're not allowed to say Miles, obviously. And probably not Peter P. Parker as well. Out of the remaining cast, who would be your favorite?
Personally, for me, it'd be Spider-Noir.
Good choice.
And to me, it's probably just because Nicolas Cage saying the catchphrases he does is just gold. Oh,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, completely. Yes.
That so his narrative of his background is just absolutely brilliant.
Good choice. What about you, Brian?
Given that you've claimed that, I was going down that road, but in all honesty, my first choice was Spider-Ham.
Yeah, see, and I feel that when that movie first came out, mm-hmm. that was everyone's choice. But I'm in the Spider-Man noir camp as well, because...
I'm a sucker for a talking animal. It's John Mulaney, and I mean, come on.
Oh, yes.
Perfect. The whole cast is... I said this on a tweet. The whole cast is perfect, but what a stroke of genius to get John Mulaney as Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
It is the perfect voice that he doesn't even have to put on.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder. I just washed my hands. That's why they're wet. No other reason.
And if you've seen, I don't know if you have, he was on Jimmy Fallon. And thanks to our friends over at Game for a Movie podcast for sending me the link. He was interviewed about the process of getting hired for the movie and not being told exactly what it was and likening it to a kidnapping. And they basically explained the basic premise that he's going to be the talking pig Spider-Man. And he makes out-of-date jokes and references all the time because he's basically a Looney Tune. And just go wild. And then it actually aired with a lot of beeps. Some of the first takes he did when he was just going for gold. And Spider-Ham was a very dirty talker. Like, there were F-bombs everywhere.
Oh, the duck is a pig? Like, anyway.
And then he apparently stopped and said, what rating is this movie going to be? And they said, PG. And he goes, so everything I've just done is not usable. And they were like, we just wanted you to have fun.
Oh, man. That wasn't on the deleted scenes on the Blu-ray.
Oh, man. Look it up on YouTube. John Mulaney, Spider-Ham, yes. Fallon. It's great. Right. The whole story is great.
That's what I'm doing after this.
Yeah. But Spider-Man Noir is just...
Nicolas Cage just nails it. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. It fully. And when he first turns up and they're in the secret hideout, the underground hideout of Peter Parker, and they're like, where's that wind coming from? We're in a basement. And he's like, the wind smells like rain.
Hey, fellas.
Is he in black and white?
Where's that wind coming from? We're in a basement.
Wherever I go, the wind follows. And the wind, it smells like rain.
And there's so many good lines from him, but my favorite was when they're in Aunt May's house, Prowler and Scorpion and all of them come up. My first thought was like, oh, don't trash Aunt May's house. That's not cool. And then I love Spider-Man Noir goes,
we don't pick the ballroom. We just dance.
Right.
That is so good. And I wonder if they let Nick Cage ad-lib anything, because I feel like those are things he'd probably say anyway. So, yeah, it's and Nicolas Cage also popped up in the very excellent, which Brian will never watch, Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Yes. Hey, I don't rule it out. I'm aware.
Mm. You never know. I know, but I know you don't like – me and you are both big fans of Teen Titans, the cartoon before it chibied.
Yeah, that is my preferred version. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and I've watched a few Teen Titans Go, but it's just small doses. But I watched that movie, and I – I really liked it. And he's Superman, Nicolas Cage.
Really?
Yeah.
He finally gets to be Superman.
Why are you only telling me this now?
What? Oh, so, but, see, that was a nice little in-joke because, you know, he was supposed to be Superman at one point. So it was perfect. And he is great as Superman in that movie too.
I have to. Yeah. Good on you. Thanks.
So whenever the question of has any actor crossed universes, that is a prime example. He was Superman and Spider-Man.
Animated superhero universes too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Still just won't make me forget Ghost Rider. Some things you don't forget.
I still like Ghost Rider. Okay. It's not great, but it's okay. It's not the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
It's not Catwoman.
It's not Catwoman. good. I was going to talk about other stuff, but we've rambled on quite a lot, and we do want to talk about WandaVision.
We've got to get to the biggie. Yeah,
let's. Yeah, so let's talk about WandaVision. So,
smoothest segue ever.
Yeah, right. Man, we're 6 episodes in, man. We know what we're doing. All right, so Brian and I have talked about this already, but Justin, interested to get your take. Yep. So when the first 2 episodes only dropped and you watched both of those, what was your initial reaction?
We haven't really seen much yet outside of the WandaVision world, right? I'm trying to remember, like, there was some little glitches, and I found it charming. And it was just, for me, it was a buildup to know that something else was coming. I loved the kind of the campiness of the old style, but it was just like, what are we leading up into? Like, it can't stay this way.
Yeah, my question was sort of, how long are they going to drag it out before they tell us something?
Right.
And the answer is 3 episodes, because episode 4 busted it all open.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. I'm sitting here wondering what's left. Lots went on in episode 4. Lots of reveals, obviously.
Because we've talked a bit about it on the last episode as well, so we're not going to rehash stuff. But as a sort of more overview type of talk, I guess, we're almost halfway through. So I feel like the last time we recorded, it was the same day as episode 3 was going to air.
Was too, yeah. That's right.
And I watched episode 3 that night, and that at the time was my favorite episode, because that episode was so good. It was the first color one. Mm-hmm. It was the one where she's pregnant and everything is
going yes
haywire. The stork is great. And I saw a great meme. I don't know if I sent it to you, where it said she had less trouble with Thanos than she did with the stork. I was like, yeah, that's good. Because it was so gold. And I had this thought, which is not proven wrong, but will be wrong. But at the time, you know how episode 3, I think it's how it opens, with the neighbor and he's chainsawing through his brick wall?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's glitching or whatever. And I thought, is he a life what are they called?
Life model decoy.
Oh,
yeah.
And he's glitching, but I don't think he is. Because where would she have got one of those from? And that's too close to being Ultron, so I don't think she wants to go there. Mm. But I was thinking, that'd be pretty cool, you know, just at the time. But that episode is really cool. That What's that?
I was debating this with a friend of mine today. We were just at work, and he'd sort of automatically assumed that they were real people.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think I'd almost kind of assumed that she made them.
Episode 4 says they're real people.
Are they real? Are they meant to be real?
Because when they're doing the board, when they're trying to figure out who the people are, they start tracking them down through facial recognition.
Yeah, of course they do too. I'd forgotten that. That's right. They're doing that whole casting thing up on the whiteboard, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm curious to know, they are real people, but are they dead?
That would be a twist. And that would be a dark twist for the MCU. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe something happened to this small town that doesn't actually exist.
Mm.
And she's just pulling up, like, I don't know, obituaries or something. I don't know. Just to make this little street town work, basically.
Resurrecting people.
Do you have a greater appreciation of the first, certainly 2, but probably 3 episodes after having watched episode 4? Thought that would be a yes or no.
myself, I'm kind of on the fence because I watched the first 2 at a block, you know, and then I watched when 3 and 4 were both out, I watched them back to back. And I enjoyed the first 2. You know, it was the quirkiness of it, and it was kind of an innovative thing to do. And by about halfway through, or a third, or halfway through the third one, I was kind of over the sitcom bit.
Yeah.
It was starting to grate, and I thought, I really need this to start going somewhere. And then you get to 4, and basically it's like, here's everything. Not everything, obviously. And it was like, okay, wow, that really went the other way. And I'm not sure if I'm – I'm waiting to see how it turns out, but I'm not sure if I'm not – but I'm not just disappointed that they revealed so much. You can start to stitch things back. You know who it was, who was watching her when she doesn't know, when the rewind and all of that kind of thing. And there was like a lot on the table now.
I feel like there's still a lot to go though, because you've got to now figure out why it's happening, and then you've got to figure out how to stop it. And then Doctor Strange has to turn up. Not a hot take, I'm sure, but Doctor Strange is totally turning up at the end of the series because it's got to set up Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness,
you think?
Which he co-stars.
You reckon that's a given?
I reckon that's a given.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking back as it was all coming, you know, because you start thinking, well, Wanda's doing this. I don't think it was a surprise that she was doing it because you think back to the comics and even House of M and all of that kind of thing. That's what I mean. You know,
by basing it
altering reality out of grief, you know, make yourself a reality. And I'm not sure, you know, I'm genuinely not sure where it's going from there.
I feel that the altering reality because she's having a mental breakdown or suffering extreme grief is a given to us who have read comics. But again, my question is, to someone who's only been exposed to this through the MCU, is that a given? Because
I don't know. I'm not suggesting that that's all there is to it and we're going to get five episodes of spinning that out. There'll be something else in there. There'll be a twist in there somewhere or something that we don't see coming because, you know, it's Marvel.
Well,
but that was just kind of the basis for it for me.
I kind of talked to you, Mike, a little bit about it. Wanda has nothing but bad things happen throughout her MCU showcasing.
Mm-hmm. True.
Like, we start off, she's, you know, loses her brother.
Even before that, she's a prisoner.
But yeah, she lost her family, was prisoner.
Even before that, mm-hmm.
You know, accidentally blows up the side of a building, kills civilians, having to fight new friends, finds love, loses love, you know. And so it's just like anytime she might feel like things are getting better, it just nosedives for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I feel like you could probably, if you actually watch the films, you can understand that she's having a hard time and you don't need to have the comic book knowledge. But if you know the comics, you kind of see things coming.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of what I mean. I mean, where you see the bit where Rambo mentions Pietro, and you see how she switches.
Oh yeah, that was great. When she mentions Ultron.
Yeah, yeah, Ultron, and you know, Pietro was killed by Ultron, and then just that switch, and the way that she acted is really, really, just really well done.
Yeah, and that was the strong hint that she's created this thing she lives in because it was her snapping out of her character.
Yeah.
And sort of like, why did you say that name? And then she goes Scarlet Witch on her and blasts her through about five buildings.
Yeah. And not attempting to sound smart after the fact or whatever, but I didn't think it was a surprise either. I mean, when she sees the guy in what turns into a beekeeper suit come up out of the, out of the street. And then she goes, no, and rewinds it, going, well, okay, well, she's doing this. She's created this. It didn't feel like a reveal that, oh, wow, she's doing all of this. Well, kind of, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think I ever thought that she wasn't doing it either. Mm. But I think that it was the first time they directly showed it, maybe.
Yeah, it's the first time it's explicit.
No, it was the first one.
Yeah, yeah. Strong suggestion. And then you go, well, clearly she's doing it. And it's that switch from, what do you call it, idyllic. Wanda.
Did they ever show what happened to the beekeeper?
In episode 4, no, it shows him go in.
Yeah.
But I don't think it shows
him. Yeah, we didn't give him Monica treatment. He's just gone.
No, she didn't sort of eject him, I don't think. No, it just kind of goes into the back of the rewind, I think.
That's interesting.
Well, one thing you said to me a few days ago, Justin, was that, and this was before episode 4 happened, after... What was that, end of episode 2, I think? The beekeeper comes out of the sewer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you said to me, oh, that's clearly going to be something like AIM, right? Because that's their nickname, right?
Good call. Yeah.
And I thought, nah, that's probably a bit too on the nose. And this is before we knew what it was. And I thought, it's too beekeeper-y, like, right? But then in episode 4, when this is like a multi-government department or bureau sort of task that they're trying to figure out what's happening at this town, it's not to say AIM's not one of those bureaus, right? And when he goes through the sewer, he's in a yellow hazmat suit. And I was like, oh, that sort of lends credence to your theory. And now I'm thinking, is AIM one of the bureaus, one of the government branches that's there?
Another reason, I don't know if I told you, like, my Marvel history is not up to snuff, but I do remember Baron Zemo was actually one of the founders of AIM.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we know that Baron Zemo is the one that tested on Wanda and Pietro, if not on Age of Ultron. And AIM is part, I think it's like kind of an offshoot of Hydra. Like I think he leaves Hydra to create that. So is this the remainder of Hydra that, you know, was already infiltrating? Are they starting their own now, maybe?
So they already took S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. was Hydra in the MCU. So that you're saying AIM is the offshoot?
Yeah.
Possibly. I like the idea.
It's a sleeper cell, maybe.
Obviously, yeah.
They'd be interested in Vision as a technology standpoint.
Yes, yes, yes. And obviously Baron Zemo is the lead villain in Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is coming up directly after WandaVision wraps up.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you might be onto something. Yeah, I wonder what people are going to flame us.
Yeah,
they're like, you idiot. But no, but I actually quite like that.
You speak
I hope
for
that's actually a thing. Yeah. Okay, well, whatever.
Idiots.
But
I claim
I like that idea.
Who's in charge of this thing, Mike? Yeah, good theory. I like that.
We also like that too.
Mm.
Because there was an interview with Elizabeth Olsen, just, you know, those press junkets you do with mm-hmm. this sort of thing. And sometime after the Mandalorian finale of season 2, when Luke Skywalker turns up, someone asked her, do you think that WandaVision would have some big cameo that, you know, that will be a surprise or whatever? And she said, yes, I'm super excited. So she's basically confirmed something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I just thought, okay, well, it'll be Benedict Cumberbatch comes in as Doctor Strange. And right, so I talked about this last time, but I cut it out of the episode. So this will be repeating for you, Brian, but no one else heard it. So my thought, because
I can attest that this is a true statement and Mike has not forced me.
Yeah. No, I've got the raw audio somewhere. So a lot of people online have been thinking this is going to be House of M. And the Wednesday Pool List, who's another Twitter account I follow, every time there's a WandaVision episode in, the next day you'll get a tweet going, relax, it's not House of M. So I feel like, because I talked about how this was very close to the Children's Crusade story from Young mm-hmm. Avengers,
yep.
which I know you haven't read. I don't know if Justin's read it.
A while ago.
Oh, good. Okay. So in that, and I'm pretty sure it is a partial retelling maybe from something that's happened in either Avengers Disassembled or House of M.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only remember Children's Crusade, so we'll just go with that. In that, Wiccan, who's the magic-powered young Avenger,
mm-hmm.
finds out or has this theory that Scarlet Witch was his mum. And he goes to find her because this is at a point where people think she's dead and he feels she's not. And his brother in Young Avengers is Speed, who has got the powers of his uncle Quicksilver. And their names are Billy and Tommy. And those are the names of Wanda's twins
mm-hmm.
in this show. So this, I talked about this and how I thought it was very similar to Children's Crusade, and maybe they were sort of taking parts of that story because they can't do that story because they haven't got the Young Avengers set up yet.
Mm-hmm.
Although they are seeding them already with Cassie Lang, Kate Bishop coming up, rumored to have cast someone to be Patriot. And now you've got Tommy and Billy, who are probably fake, or definitely fake
mm.
babies, but now still have precedent, right? And so you would, ideally, if it was me, I would have done that story because it's a cool story, and you could put Wanda through the ringer a bit more, maybe, and have the Young Avengers go and basically play out that they find her in Latveria, because you can have Latveria now, I guess. Doesn't have to be that. Find her living this idyllic life she has created with her powers, which is what WandaVision is.
Mm.
And so I thought, okay, maybe they're going to take parts of that to use for this.
Well, that's kind of what they do, though, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the great things about Marvel is they don't just straight adapt. It's not a complete adaptation of anything. They pick and choose and they take bits and pieces, as you should. You shouldn't just do a Watchmen, let's be honest.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying this is Children's Crusade because this whole her mental breakdown and things, I'm pretty sure happened in Avengers Disassembled, led into House of M.
Led into House of M, no more mutants. And then, you know, well, yeah. You go, no more mutants because there aren't any. Yeah, unless that's your takeout and you go, well, mutants. But anyway, You know what I mean? So there's elements of it. So if they're going down that road, they'll diverge at some point or hit us with something we hopefully don't see coming.
Yeah, and so my theory was, and again, this is amateur hour on the Rambling Geek, but my theory was eventually they're going to end this fantasy world, right, somehow, because the series has to end. I figure she loses her babies then, and maybe that's why she's going through the multiverse with Doctor Strange to find the alternate reality where her children are still alive or existed in the first place. And that's how you could bring in older Wiccan and Speed into the MCU and have the Young Avengers, because obviously the age doesn't match up at the moment. So anyway, that was just my amateur hour thought. Again, I'm no writer, never will be, but I like the idea.
Not strictly true, but I see what you're saying.
I did see a theory, I think it was today even, that possibly Wanda made a deal with like Mephisto to be a civil that bring Vision back or have this little world she's in, which I don't think so much that, but maybe someone like Mephisto or someone from a multiverse actually takes the kids.
Mephisto makes sense to Doctor Strange.
Yes. So maybe like someone actually ends up taking the kids from her and she goes into this mental breakdown and needs Strange's help to get the kids back or find the kids.
But again, they're not real kids because Vision's dead. And not that I think they did the deed or anything, because there's a whole lot of questions around that. It's like Shape of Water all over again. But those kids, just to me, they don't exist. So maybe it's even simpler. Maybe she just goes into the multiverse to find Vision.
Hmm.
So, yeah, and with Kang the Conqueror being rumored to be the next Thanos-level villain in the MCU, Kang the Conqueror becomes Iron Lad in the Young Avengers, if I'm not mistaken. Might be an alternate universe Kang, but I'm pretty sure he becomes the Young Avenger Iron Man. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong on Twitter, because I could be.
That sounds about right.
I like the theory. It's a good theory. I just from Marvel Universe, what do you call it, history, previous experience, it just feels a little neat. There'll be something else in there somewhere.
There will.
Maybe that with something else on top of it. It just feels like, I don't know, it's, who the hell knows, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. We're always going to sit here, like much of the internet, and have our guesses, shoot our shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we might watch episode 5 and go, okay, new theory.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Damn it. But, disregard.
But as I said, I did, regardless of whether anyone believes me, I did say this before episode 3 aired, and I regret cutting it out, because when I watched episode 3 and she had the twins, I was like, damn it. And then episode 4, can we talk about episode 4, by the way? This was really heavily linking into the MCU in a cool way by having a grown-up Monica Rambeau as the woman who was in the show and got kicked out for mentioning Ultron. For her to turn up as Monica Rambeau was awesome. And the fact that it showed the blip, or the unblip, I guess. Yeah,
the return.
Return, mm-hmm. At the start of that episode.
That was really well done. All the chaos of that, I thought, was very cool.
It was very cool. Mm-hmm. And then you find out she's Monica Rambeau, and you're like, oh, yeah, that totally makes sense, because Captain Marvel was set in the 90s, so she would be growing up now. And then she's been gone for however many years the blip was and remains the same as she was pre-blip. I think that was the rule, right,
mm-hmm.
when people came back and
experiment.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool. And bringing back Kat Dennings, that made me smile, because I really liked her in the Thor movies.
Yeah.
So I was quite happy for her to be back. Yeah, it was just a very nice, like, it really made it feel like they're living up to their whole, these TV shows are actually woven into the MCU. So yeah, that was really cool. And Randall Park turning up. I love Randall Park. And as the FBI agent, Jimmy Woo, I think his name is.
Though every time he pronounced her name as Rambo,
yes.
I kept thinking Stallone. And then someone pronounces it as Rambo, and I went, thank you. I feel better now, Rambo. Okay, let's move on.
So do you think we're going to get her as a superhero? Because you would have to at this point, right? Well, like, you wouldn't introduce her and then, like, keep her.
What was she, Photon, is it?
Yes.
Eventually, because she, Captain Marvel. She was Captain Marvel, but I'm not sure that you can go down that road now because we have a Captain Marvel.
There's plenty of theories on Twitter.
Yeah, she was Captain Marvel when they introduced her in the Avengers.
Was she Captain or Ms.?
No, Captain Marvel.
Sure. I think she was a Captain Marvel before.
Yeah, she was Captain Marvel, you know, in the silver suit, I guess, silver and black and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe a name change after that and where Carol was at that point, I can't remember. But
it would just really be super filling up the Ms. Marvel corner of the MCU because you've got Ms. Marvel coming in a TV series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which nobody's talking about anymore, but it's got to be awesome because that's a brilliant comic. And then you've got, obviously, Carol Danvers.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I hated in Captain Marvel, and correct me if my memory's wrong, but at the end of Captain Marvel, when it shows her in the plane and her call sign, is it Avenger?
I believe that's true.
It was something as equally on the nose if it wasn't Avenger, and I just went, bah. And they did the same thing, except to her mum, in the photo of Maria Rambeau on the wall of sword.
Yeah.
It was Photon.
It's Photon, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, because this one is supposed to become Photon, not that one. And so I was just, ugh. But I just, that irked me a lot in Captain Marvel that she was Carol Avenger Danvers, if I'm right. Whatever it was, it irked me.
I think that's right, because I remember hearing, like, people were a little up in arms because Captain was the first Avenger.
Yes.
And the people were trying to say that
Steve's first Avenger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's still the first one because he was in the 40s.
Yeah, I think someone just made an article that just forgot about that. And
right.
So,
okay.
You know,
yeah, timelines.
This is Twitter we're talking about. So,
yeah, that's true.
We could just say it's an Easter egg and it was just a thing to go, hey, we know you're watching.
You know? Yeah.
Or there's a grander plan and eventually in 17 more movies it will all come out and be, remember that thing on the wall? It was all about
that. Yeah, I took my mum's name to honor her. Yeah, okay, Photon, maybe I can get over, but not that one in Captain Marvel.
I'm sitting there going, why don't we have a binary yet? See, this is what keeps me awake at night.
There you go. So anyway, looking forward to the last five episodes. Say last five, like it's only halfway through. I'm looking forward to the rest of the series. And I'm interested to see, because episode 4 was very Wanda and Vision light, because they had a lot of other stuff to talk about.
Yep.
So I'm wondering how they're going to balance it now. I wasn't ready to give up the homage to different decades of comedy, even though you were, Brian. I still needed to see Cheers, like you said last time.
Yeah, and I would fully have applauded that. There's still scope. She's still in her little Wandaverse. Could still happen.
I did like when in episode 4 she became Scarlet Witch again and she was doing all her hand stuff with the powers and everything.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's nice. That's what I want. That's what everyone wanted.
What was the plan with the red smoke, though, for the stalk? How does that help?
I thought she was trying to make it go away and it just wasn't
to scare
working.
It off.
Yeah, and then it just all kind of wanders out of it and I'm going.
I kind of took that as in she's trying to delay the labor, but the baby's coming.
Okay.
That's how I took it.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going, why is she trying to mask it in red smoke?
I think she was trying to scare it back.
Yeah. The bit where it goes into the room and then it sort of silhouettes itself with the painting of the stork. I laughed out loud.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
I like that. It was such a perfect sort of thing for the era.
It was a sitcom thing to do.
Yeah. So you got to give Feige and all those other guys and the directors and production designers and everyone who works on the show credit because they are pitch perfect homages to what they're trying to do.
Definite love for it. I mean, even wandering around holding fruit in front of the very, very large pregnant belly.
Oh, that made me laugh.
Yes,
I cracked up at that because it's such a thing. Like, it made me think of Julia Louis-Dreyfus in Seinfeld when she got pregnant one season and she had to keep hiding behind herself. And right. I think they did it in Friends possibly as well. But yeah, that made me laugh out loud. That was so fantastic.
Nice. Yeah.
And then episode 4 just automatically clicked over to feeling like it was an MCU thing for me. Like it really just felt
very Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Don't demean it like that.
No, it felt like... I call it felt like TV, and that's okay because it's TV. We still have to call it TV, I suppose.
We've talked about this. It's still on the TV.
We have. Yeah. I watched it on my TV. It felt Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.-ish. It didn't feel MCU. You know, it's still clearly television. It was good, though. It was good to pay off some stuff.
My little nitpick with Thor was Kat Dane's character doing, like, the, oh, this is so-and-so off the facial recognition. It's like, that's not her job. True. She's not going to be the one looking that kind of stuff up.
No.
In fact, she's already done her job.
Yeah, exactly.
They can get rid of her now.
Yeah.
But I do like her, and I find her amusing.
Yeah, she is great. I love her in that role.
Yeah.
She's the one thing that'll be missing from Love and Thunder, unless it's a surprise. But I haven't heard any mention of her landing in Australia.
Nothing will be a surprise to anybody listening to this. We're on point here.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how much we're on point.
Mike really said it, by the way. The stuff he said, he really did. I promise.
And everyone's like, so it's not a hot take. We all thought that. So it's like, nothing we say is a hot take, dude. The only hot take I say constantly on Twitter is that Batman Begins is better than The Dark Knight. And the only reason everyone likes Dark Knight is for the Joker. And if he wasn't in it, the movie would not be as highly regarded. So,
yes.
Thank you. Justin's probably like hanging up now.
No. I like both of them for different reasons. Like,
is the reason that you
love the Joker? I love the Joker for that. Yes, the Batman's not so strong in that one, but you know, I like Batman in the first one, and Roz is okay. Like, he's pretty good. And so it's kind of like I like them for different reasons.
Can I ask you a question? Because that just made me think of something. Because, you know, the whole Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul, whatever you want to call him, the fake out, right? So you're supposed to think it's Ken Watanabe playing Ra's al Ghul,
right?
And then it turns out it's Liam Neeson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So no one had a problem with that fake out. Now, my question, going back to the MCU, do either of you have a problem with the Mandarin fake out in Iron Man 3?
I didn't.
No.
I freaking loved it.
No, I think, I think it was a very clever move. And that's kind of the thing I was referring to before. It's like, it's almost like they lure you down a path, the Marvel guys, and then go, ha-ha, you didn't see that coming.
Because I can tell you, if he had actually been the Mandarin as that sort of, I hate to say it, but that sort of ISIS type faction, right?
Yeah.
Some people call me a terrorist. I consider myself a teacher. Ready for another lesson.
I would have totally bought into that and loved it too. Because he played that Mandarin very well.
Yeah.
But that scene where he switches and he goes full British.
Don't hurt the face. I'm an actor.
You got a minute to live. Fill it with words.
Just a role. The Mandarin, see? It's not real.
Then how did you get here, Trevor?
Well, I had a little problem with substances, and I ended up doing things, no two ways about it, in the street that a man shouldn't do.
Next.
Oh, man, that is the funniest thing.
Yes.
How do people hate that?
Loved it.
I just don't know how people hate it.
Having seen his fake Mandarin, if you like, and how kind of ominous that was and kind of scary, now that we're actually getting we're getting the Mandarin, right?
The Mandarin, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to me, the Mandarin was the high part of Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you switch that him to not really the bad guy, it's like, oh, well, you're taking away the bad guy kind of thing.
Oh, so but, it's just
Killian. No, because the real bad guy was Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
Just Killian, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. So I don't think, so I've said it before. I hate when they swap out the bad guy, right? But I think Killian was there the whole time, and he was still the bad guy the whole time. The Mandarin was sort of the distraction, I guess.
You could say the same in a way of Bane and Marion Cotillard's character, who's the name of which escapes me. I mean,
Talia al Ghul.
The name she was going under in the movie. I mean,
oh right,
oh yeah,
yeah, and then she turns out to be Talia al Ghul. Exactly. It's the same kind of thing, really.
Yeah, two bad guys the whole time,
and I didn't see that coming. It was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I have to say, I really like that movie, and I really like Tom Hardy as Bane, even though it's not Bane at all from any other thing that has come before.
Yeah.
It is still awesome, and I am a big fan of Tom Hardy in general. Like, I think he does a good job in most of the things he's in. But the voices, man, like, stop it. But in Bane, it makes sense. But in Venom, oh, that was unwatchable. I'm sorry. All these people who like Venom, I just don't understand it. That was a terrible, terrible movie. And I will. That's another hill I will die on.
you are the occupant of several hills, Mike.
And, I am. I have a lot of land.
So you own a lot of land.
I do.
And and look, current economy, good for you.
Well, I'm telling you, I would guess, Brian, you haven't even seen Venom.
I have not seen Venom. No. Purely because I've had so many people tell me not to watch it.
Oh, I had so many people telling me it was awesome, and I was like, it's not. It's not.
Because you know me, lots of people tell me to watch something, I'm more inclined not to. If I get a lot of people telling me not to watch something, I'll probably go, yeah, I think I'm with you. I don't know how it works. Yeah. I'm a complicated man.
Speaking of that, did you watch The Queen's Gambit?
Still only watched the first episode, but every intention of going back to the second one. I'm just, yeah.
So I'd like to say, and this is, again, not a hot take, but I did call it. She got nominated for the Golden Globes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The show did, nice. And she did for lead actress. Yes. And I believe I said I would be surprised if not nominated, shocked if not win.
You did.
I'm now not surprised.
That one is on tape. It is recorded tape. Mm.
Yeah, keep it this tape.
Yeah, keep it.
Yeah. No, I said that on an earlier
episode. Oh, that's right.
It's in there. It's in the public record or whatever we want to call it.
So, nobody listens. It doesn't matter.
Was it Golden Globe nominations today? Was it? I thought I saw a headline, but I didn't get a chance to read it. So
it was the nominations, and I'm not going to go through all of them because we've been rambling on for a while. But a couple of highlights was the entire cast of Schitt's Creek has been nominated in different acting categories, and I find that extremely good because that is so well deserved. That is a show that got better every season and is just brilliant. The Queen's Gambit got a best, I think it was a limited series nod, and Anya Taylor-Joy, best actress in a limited series. So that was cool. And the show I'm enjoying the most at the moment, and I just finished season one, and I know I told you the premise, Brian, and it probably put you off, but you should totally watch it, is Ted Lasso. And it's been nominated. He's been nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy, and I think it might have been up for Best Comedy or Musical TV Series as well. But Ted Lasso is, it's just so good. It's got so much good comedy. It's got feels, you know, it gets deep sometimes, but it never forgets what it is, and it's so good. It's got a great ending to season one. I can't speak highly enough.
I'm making a prediction now. I'm going to make a prediction right now that one day there will be a Golden Globe category for feels.
Yeah. Oh, no, that goes to, what is that, the MTV People's Choice Awards or Kids' Choice Awards? That's got to be in there, right?
It's like, I don't know, I'm 20 years too old to watch those.
I read stuff. It's because The Rock always wins, so I know. So what else?
Can I cycle back to one, sorry, from a name that you dropped in there, Justin? Anya Taylor-Joy, have you seen New Mutants?
No, I have not.
Okay, I'm looking for another opinion. I don't have a great many opinions to go on. I just wonder.
I know it's not a huge rated film. I am actually interested in watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I'll probably at some point. But
of the opinions you've heard, have they all been similar to mine?
Yeah, pretty much. I've a couple of people I know who just didn't like it at all, and then the ones who did like it or were, you know, a little more favourable were just, yeah, pretty much what you said.
She is the best part of it.
As our friend Clayton would say on the Heritage Film Club, it was a movie. I watched it.
Yeah.
That's kind of you. That's your take.
And his recommendation of every single movie, whether he hated it or not, is if you haven't seen it, go watch it. I said, yeah, cool, man. Man, pick a side of the fence, dude. But yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy is the definite highlight of that movie.
Hills. He's got no hills to get to. So.
No. Oh, man. And Mandalorian was nominated for Best Drama, too, again.
Ooh.
So see, there's some cred behind it, dude. Watch it.
No, not watching it.
Does the Globes have any technical or, like, graphic categories?
I actually don't know if they do. They have, like, soundtrack and stuff. I don't know if they have sound editing and Well, they probably wouldn't be televised anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I'd give it that.
So, not sure. But, Ted Lasso, I highly recommend. Schitt's Creek, I highly recommend, even though it finished ages ago. And I'm always going to recommend The Mandalorian. And pretty much everyone who listens to this probably will as well. So, but Brian's never going to watch it, so give up the dream.
That's a shame.
I'm dying in my ditch.
Yeah. I've got a hill, you've got a ditch.
I've got a ditch. Hey, land is land.
My Mandalorian's not even a hill. It would be so overpopulated.
I've got lots of room in my ditch. I'm good. I'm happy here.
Okay, so I think we can do one more thing to wrap this up. And we've talked a lot about MCU stuff, and I wanted to get your takes on what would your, just looking at the movies, top five MCU movies be thus far?
I told you my top five previously, and I had to think about it then, and now I've got to scramble and think about it now, which is what I'm doing by talking like this. And again, kind of in no particular order. Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War. Top three, I suppose. I'm actually drawing a blank on what I said for you for the other two. I actually gave you six, I think, didn't I? There's so many, and I have to think back on it. There's an Avengers in there.
Yeah, I think you said the first Avengers movie.
Avengers. Marvel's Avengers. Thor.
Really?
The first Thor, I think I had. You're testing my memory. I'm an old man. Definitely tell you what, I'll give you my top three, though, would always be the Captain America, Winter Soldier, Civil War. Completely. Hands down.
Okay. Fair enough. Justin, do you know your top five?
Kind of. Winter Soldier is always going to be number one. Anybody else to say anything else is wrong. I kind of automatically put Infinity and Endgame as number two, but that's, I feel that's kind of a cheat.
One movie.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go straight to Doctor Strange.
Wow. Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Iron Man 2. And
really?
Yes. And I'll tell you the only reason why, really, is two reasons. I love War Machine.
Yeah.
And that's when you get to really see him flex and that at the end. And I love Justin Hammer.
Yeah, I do like Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, he is fantastic as Hammer. Mm-hmm. And then my last one would be Age of Ultron.
Really? Wow, you've got some hot takes.
Yeah, I know.
I'm pretty sure most people hate Iron Man 2 and hate Age of Ultron. So that's interesting. So for me, I concur that the number one movie should always be Winter Soldier, because nothing has topped that. And I'm taking away Infinity War Endgame because it's almost a given because of how good. But I feel that you can't watch them separately, and you really need to have watched the vast majority of the MCU probably for it to make sense. But I probably can't speak to that because I did watch all of the MCU prior to it. But I feel it's so
a massive payoff. So
it's a massive payoff. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I don't. That's why I put it aside and I don't put it in the contention, I guess, for the list. Because we all know it's awesome. So my list would be Winter Soldier, and then in no particular order, the first Iron Man, because that is why we have all the rest of it. And it holds up. It holds up much better than Hulk, which I do like. Mm. I don't understand the hate for that movie.
That is true.
just wish we'd get the payoff of the leader now already.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. They completely set it up and nothing has been heard of. So, yeah, Iron Man, the first Avengers movie, because that already was this feat we never thought would happen.
Mm.
And now look, we got Endgame and it's like Avengers is nothing. But it was at the time the thing that, you know, at the end of Iron Man 1, we all hoped for, but didn't actually probably think was still going to happen. Civil War, because of the intro of Spider-Man, the best Spider-Man, apart from Spider-Verse, and the very good introduction of Black Panther as well. And Guardians of the Galaxy, because I really liked the first one. It was their biggest gamble at the time. We all thought it was going to be their first bomb, and it wasn't. And it's highly, for me anyway, highly rewatchable. Great soundtrack. The cast is on point, and unfortunately had a very subpar sequel. So, and then my honorable mention, and it's the one I most want to go back and rewatch because I've only seen it once, is Doctor Strange.
We'll come back to that. Are there any others that you haven't watched a second time?
I didn't watch Black Panther a second time because I think it was overhyped. I think it's fine. It's a fine movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's in the top few Marvel movies, though, like a lot of people do.
I thought the female cast was better.
Totally, totally. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I do like I did like Andy Serkis. I did like Michael B. Jordan. Chadwick Boseman is awesome in that movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think when compared realistically to all the rest of the MCU movies, not all of them, because there's some much worse ones, but it is not at the top. It's sort of probably high middle.
Yeah, okay. It's in the middle of the bell curve for me. It's somewhere, yeah. It's a good solid.
It's got very clunky CGI, man.
Oh, yes.
Very clunky, very video game CGI. What other ones have I only watched once? Guardians of the Galaxy 2 I've only watched once. I watched a little bit on TV when it was on the other day.
Yeah, I've seen it twice.
What else? Thor Ragnarok I've watched 1.5 times. I really dislike... I feel like... Because I know you don't like that movie, Brian. But for me, it's like I really like it. But the scenes after they introduce Hulk in the arena... The Hulk just looks weird for most of the rest of the movie. Like, it doesn't look right. He looks so awesome in that arena scene when he's fighting Thor. And then it's just this weird... And it's maybe it's because he can talk as well. I don't know. But Hela and Carl Urban and all of them are gold in that movie. And Captain Marvel I've only watched once as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you'd seen Captain Marvel once. I figured that you probably hadn't gone back to it.
Yeah. I do want to go back to it because I love how they did the Skrulls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
And I do like the majority of that movie. I think they made some poor choices with the music. They chose songs that were on the nose rather than actually fitting a scene, especially the fight scene at the end where it's "I'm just a girl." I thought, I get why you chose it, but it doesn't fit the scene at all. Sometimes you've just got to edit yourself. I don't know. What about you guys? Is there any that you want to revisit that you haven't?
I would watch them all again, except for Guardians 2.
You'd even watch Guardians 1? Because I thought you didn't like that either.
No, I like Guardians 1.
Oh, you do? Okay.
It's my third least favorite Marvel movie. I think that's
okay.
My bottom three, and it's the one I like the best of my bottom three.
What is your bottom movie? Is it Thor Ragnarok?
No, Guardians 2.
I thought you said that was your third least favorite.
No, my least favorite is Guardians 2.
Oh.
One above that, which is Thor Ragnarok, and then the one
above Guardians that. 1 is with
Guardians. Yeah.
Right, okay. That's an interesting bottom three.
Yep. That's my hill.
Yeah. He's gone out of that ditch, folks. Well, we're moving on
now. Other than me, it's an unoccupied hill, I'm aware.
No, I think there's some people who don't like it.
Yeah. I think people with exactly that three, I think we would be very rare, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
I think Guardians 2 is my least favorite because I like Thor 2. I don't know why people hate that movie.
Yeah, me too. I like the Thor movies. I like Thor and Dark World.
Yeah, I like the first two. The third one I have troubles with because it's a complete change of Thor.
That's why it was so popular, I think.
Without explanation until we get to basically Endgame. Because then I think it was Endgame where Thor just basically sees his mom and then we figure out, okay, that's why he's a mess and everything's so different. I was like, if you had told me that in Ragnarok, I'd been like, okay, I get it.
Oh, that's interesting. I never had that problem. So what would your least favorite be?
My least favorite? Oh, man. I'm trying to think. I don't know, man. I have to look at the list again.
I have to say an honorable mention I should have said as well is either one of the Spider-Man movies because I can't decide which one I like better of those two.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah, they're both very cool.
Maybe Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but I still enjoy it, but it's not the strongest film. I enjoy them all for different reasons, but I'd be happy to go back and watch any of them.
You've got to give Marvel credit, though, because, you know, there's a lot of people who like comedy movies, a lot of people who like action movies, whatever. They've sort of run the gamut genre-wise
mm-hmm.
throughout the MCU. And a lot of people have stuck through it regardless of what genre each movie decides to be. And I think that's pretty cool. That's, I mean, once you get into sort of, you get halfway through, you're invested. You sort of have to stick it out now.
Yeah.
But I feel that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Well, it's massive credit to them for taking that kind of gamble. You know, as you said, when Guardians was announced, people are going, okay, right, here's the bit at which the shark is being jumped.
Mm.
You know, that they actually, they found a way to do it. I mean, even you get the comedy tone of Ant-Man. I love Ant-Man.
Mm. Oh, so good.
You know, and it's the generally speaking, other than something like Guardians 2, I think that they know how far to go with even sort of changing something up or giving it that kind of twist. And I think that's down to lots and lots of really good planning, figuring out what they're doing.
Until that end credit scene of Ant-Man 2 where the ant's playing the drums. Ah, jump the shark. you're on point. You were so on point. And then you did that. And it's like, why? Man,
all around honestly, the world, people going, but it's an ant playing the drums.
Oh, I know. I get it. But dude, talk about jump the shark. Jeepers. Well, is there anything else you'd like to ramble about?
As I say, look at everyone, I think I'm rambled out.
Yeah.
Good. Well, yeah, Justin, must be, it's like, what, 3 a.m. now?
Yeah, just after now.
Yeah, so your kid will be waking up soon, I imagine.
Probably, yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to plug? Do you want to plug your social media or anything while you're here?
Yeah, basically I'm only on Facebook and Instagram right now under Tallboy Shep. Should be able to remember last name Shepherd, and I'm tall and act like a boy. Just I'm kind of a part-time artist, just mainly just having fun.
Nice. So, yep, go and check his stuff out. He's got some cool stuff, and I think you'll be the first to admit is responsible for something leading to something that's going to happen.
Yeah, I expect to have credits, and I'm expecting my check anytime.
That was like the audio equivalent of a vague post. Because I can't talk about something that's coming up and it's pretty cool and probably be about another year till I can talk about it, I imagine.
Makes anybody else listening feel better. I'm baffled too.
Nice. Okay.
True. Though I did appreciate that you've now just given us the first origin story we've ever had on this, because now we have the origin story.
Well, to be totally honest, I had nothing to do with it. So.
No, I think it was one day you showed me a fan art you did. And if I'm not mistaken, it might have been, was it Becky Lynch from WWE?
No, we decided to do a WD art together.
Oh, I thought you had done yours first and that made me want to do one. Okay, but anyway.
No, I think we both said, let's just go and do one. And yours came out so much better than mine.
No. But if you hadn't done your Becky Lynch, I probably wouldn't have done my Undertaker. And then... You know, and then things happened after that, and it was really bizarre and really fast and really out of nowhere, to coin a WWE phrase. yeah. So thank you for that, whether it was what happened or not. That's how I remember it, until you start asking for money, and then I'll conveniently forget.
Normally I only have to deal with one self-deprecating artist, and now there are two.
The great part for you, there's no legal, like, binding of any sort on my end, so.
No, and this is all just pure speculation. We can only ask one person if that's how it all happened, and I haven't actually asked that person yet, so. So, again, vague, but, hey, one day I'll be able to tell you all something that I'm going to potentially be doing, definitely going to be doing, and I'll leave it at that. So, cool. All right, so go and follow Justin at Tallboy Shep on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
You can follow us on all of the three major ones. I'm going to say three because I'm old and I don't care for the others. So Facebook and Instagram, we're at TRG Podcast. Twitter, we're at The Rambling Geek. So go follow us on all of those and be sure to check out our affiliate links in the description of this episode, where you can go and buy cool stuff for no extra cost to you, but we get a little kickback and it helps support the show. So that'd be cool. You're buying stuff you'll probably buy anyway, and it's cool stuff. So go and check out all our affiliates we've listed in our descriptions. That's ADTs.com, Sideshow Collectibles, and Things from Another World. So if you need your comics, your toys, or anything like that, your T-shirts, we've got you covered. So do that, and until next time, we are out.
Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you.
That's the end. Thanks for listening.